Nuala O'Phelan is an acclaimed writer, professor, television producer, and columnist. She's in our New York bureau, and Nuala, I'd like you to read the introduction to your new book.
I was born in a Dublin that was much more like something from an earlier century than like the present day. I was one of nine children, when nine was not even thought of as a big family among the teeming, penniless, anonymous Irish of the day. I was typical, a nobody who came of an unrecorded line of nobodies. In a conservative Catholic country which feared sexuality and forbade me even information about my body, I could expect difficulty in getting through my life as a girl and a woman. But at least, it would have been assumed, I wouldn't have the burden of having to earn a good wage. Eventually, some man would marry me and keep me. But there are no typical people, and places don't stay the same. The world changed around Ireland, and even Ireland changed, and I was to be both an agent of change and a beneficiary of it. I didn't see that until I wrote out my story. I was immured in the experience of my own life.
That's the introduction to Are You Somebody?, the accidental memoir of a Dublin woman. It had its first life as the introduction to a collection of Nuala O'Phelan's Irish Times columns, which became a bestseller in Ireland. It's just been published in the United States, and as I mentioned, she is in our New York bureau. I'm interested in the term accidental. What do you mean, accidental memoir?
Well, I never had it in mind to write a memoir. I wouldn't have valued myself to write a memoir. It was only because, a very small publisher wanted to collect some of my old opinion columns. Not because anyone even wanted to read the old opinion columns, but because it's a quick piece of bookmaking. And when I agreed to that, knowing that it's only a piece of bookmaking, because who wants to read 10-year-old arguments that were meant, you know, to wrap that day's fish and chips? But when I agreed to that, I said, I'll write an introduction so as to have something new. And when I went to write an introduction to my opinions, I followed those steps. You know, my opinions come from my experience and my experience comes from my life. And I was faced with having to write about my life. And it so happened that I was in my 50s and I was on my own, very on my own. I hadn't any partner or lover or children or money or anything. What happened? What was the thread or the pattern that went through my life that here I am, full of life, full of love, full of experience, but on my own? So I wanted to trace things back and see, could I see why I had ended up like that?
Did you find an answer to that question?
No, but you see, then life went and did one of its big tricks on me. I asked myself that question more or less in privacy, I thought, writing this little introduction that nobody would read, and instead everybody read it, and the solitude it described was transformed, and here it is in America. So though the conventional thing hasn't happened and perhaps will not happen ever, a completely unlooked for other thing has happened, of all kinds of strangers, you know, knowing what I'm talking about and caring. That's what happened.
In discovering why it was you became who you are, you had to go back and see who your parents were. Do you think in many ways what you became is what you wanted to become, which essentially is not your mother?
Well, I certainly think a mother like my mother, who shouldn't have been a mother, shouldn't have been landed with unchosen motherhood, does leave her daughters terribly confused. But, and of course she was an alcoholic, and that meant she left all her children very confused, because each of them has had to find some way to believe that they could be loved, you know, because she didn't love us. But I can't tell you how accidental my life has felt. As far as I'm concerned, first one thing happened and then another thing happened. And then another thing happened, and I wasn't in charge at any stage. It's only now that I'm beginning to think, was there an intention, you know? Was there something inside me like a mole underground burrowing towards this light here in my 50s, this light of presenting myself to strangers and saying, look, accept me, even though I'm nobody.
It's also interesting, I mean, you write about your mother and being alcoholic and the fact that she had to deal with 9 children. You're the second oldest of these 9. She's someone who would drink and read, drink and read. Your father was an acclaimed broadcaster, Irish writer, so in many ways you have become like him, at least in profession.
I know. I'm frightened about that. You see, I don't know what it means, if it means anything, that I do seem to have... I'm mutating into my father. The only difference is, of course, that I don't have a suffering wife at home, you know, stuck with the role of mother at which she is completely unskilled. I haven't exactly damaged anybody on my way to this.
Mm. But you are the product of that relationship.
Example. Yeah, I know. Yeah. I wish, you know, this is completely irrational, but particularly here in the States, it is like the dreams of generations of European immigrants come true to be here with the book with my photo on it. And I keep thinking, why aren't they alive to see this? Even though, of course, they had to die for me to be able to say it.
Right. And to write the things that you do. It is interesting, I think, to us in America, you are among a number of writers from Ireland who have written about being women growing up in the 40s in Ireland who now have a voice in literature. I was thinking of Maeve Binchy as I was reading your memoir. I'm thinking of her circle of friends. There seems to now be a full generation of women who finally have a voice.
Oh, no, don't you believe that for a moment. Ireland's full of very good women writers who are not in the anthologies. They're not asked on this circuit, you know, to readings all over the world. The boys have that sewn up for themselves. Maeve escaped, but she escaped by being a great popular novelist. But on the whole, I've seen Edna O'Brien sort of sidelined as an eccentric. I've seen the women kept out, yes.
Mm. So still, despite of the fact that Ireland has had a woman president, a woman secretary for Northern Ireland, there were women in politics and women in letters, women in Ireland are still what might be called marginal?
I think so, yes. And I think that one of the reasons why my memoir, which is not at all sensational, but I think that there's a real hunger, you know, in that country, and perhaps, you know, even in layers of more evolved and more equal cultures like this one here, there's a hunger to hear the stories of other women, so as to place your own story, so as to know how many others out there are there like you.
What have you learned about yourself that you didn't know by writing this down?
Well, it opened up sorrows that I hadn't actually known were there. I was doing much better before I wrote the book, in the sense that I was living a more insouciant life. And I have been very nearly overwhelmed with sadness in the year or so since I wrote the book. But I am hoping that what that is a process, not a condition, and that I'm moving through it into what will be a joyful late middle age.
I love, as you write in the end of the book, I didn't know that for more people than I could imagine, this account of one unregarded life would be a thing that would flower and flower. It's a very optimistic ending, I think, that you put on the book. I find the last paragraph quite, inspirational in a way.
Thank you.
For women of a certain age, like myself.
Yes.
Can I get you to read that last paragraph for you? Well, what you sort of the end. This is what I've come to as I face myself at 50.
What can I do but take my chances? I was thinking incoherently, coming out of the chapel into the midday light. And what else can I do? Look after my teeth, listen to all the music I can, and keep going. Keep working on my escape tunnels out of the past. Keep hoping to break through to the here and now. to be just myself, like the cat, which is so perfectly and unselfconsciously a cat and doesn't know it will perish. What can I do when everything is so various and so beyond me, but cling on and thank the God I don't believe in for the miracles showered on me?
Nuala O'Phelan, her book is called Are You Somebody? The Accidental Memoir of a Dublin Woman, and it's published by Henry Holt. She joined us in our New York bureau. Thank you very much, Nuala.
Thank you.
This is NPR's Weekend Edition. I'm Leanne Hansen.